Good to be in the Lord's house this morning. I tell you what, I think the choir knew what they were singing about this morning. I don't know, it just felt different this morning. My, what a joy to serve my Jesus. And then to turn right around and sing about Jesus rescuing us. And man, I was already excited to be in the house of the Lord this morning, but I almost took me a laugh this morning. I didn't want y'all to throw me out or nothing. I don't think you would. But as we're in God's house this morning, man, what an excitement that there is to know that we're serving the one true God this morning. I'm not serving a little statue that's sitting on my mantle at the house and I had to leave him there this morning. I'm not serving someone that is dead and in a grave somewhere, but I'm serving a God who is in heaven that cares for me, that loves for me, that knows what I'm going to face this week, and he's already got my week in his hands. I don't know what's going to happen after a while. I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow, but God already knows and God's got a plan for me. And even if it seems bad for me, that same God says that all things that happen in my life are going to work for my good, according to his riches, according to his purpose. So as we go through days and days in and days out, no matter what goes on, just remember that you're serving a God that's got you in the palm of his hands. Just trust in him and just rely on him. 2 Kings chapter number 13 is where we're going to take our reading from this morning. Again, excited to be in the house of the Lord. I hope I can slow my emotions and my mind down enough to preach this morning. I promise you, if I get the stuttering and stammering, I'm not talking in tongues. I just can't keep it straight. So y'all just pray for me as we go. But on a little more serious note, before we get into the message this morning, Jason and Leanne Hooker are back with us this morning. They've been in California this week with Jason's dad, who was involved in a tragic accident. And Jason's dad is still in the hospital there. And I ask y'all to continue to remember him in your prayers and just pray that God just work in an amazing way, just perform a miracle and just give comfort and grace and wisdom to them that they know where they need to be and when they need to be there. But in saying that, Jason wanted me to be sure and tell the church, thank you for all the calls, the texts, the prayers. Just thank you for supporting this family as they're going through what they're going through. And I ask you as a church just to bind together and to continue to support this family. And also, let's continue to support Sister Rose. She's going through a tough time right now. Pray for her. Be there for her as much as you can. But let's also be very mindful that and they need some family time as they're going through these days too. So let's just be sure that we remember each other in prayer. 2 Kings chapter number 13 is where we'll be taking our reading from this morning. If you will, bow your heads and pray with me and pray for me. Lord, I just want to thank you for this day, and I want to thank you for this opportunity to be here. God, I want to thank you for everyone that's here this morning. God, I know that we have visitors in the house this morning, and God, we just want to welcome them. But God, most of all, we want them to feel your presence. God, we pray, dear Father, if there's one here today that's lost, God, I pray that you'll just touch their heart, God. Help them to see the love that you had for us, even though that we're so unworthy, even though that we sin, we fall, and we come short, that you loved us enough that you let your Son come and give his life for us. God, I pray, dear Father, as we that are as Christians here this morning, God, I pray that you'll help us as you speak to us through your word, that we will listen to the word of God, that we will apply it to our lives, and that when we leave here in just a few minutes, God, that we'll leave closer than we were when we came in. God, we just want to praise you. We want to worship you. We want to give you glory. God, thank you for what you're doing in fellowship, and thank you for letting us have just a little part of it. In Jesus' name that I pray, amen. 2 Kings chapter number 13, we have read this scripture before. I doubt that you remember it because you probably don't even remember what I preached last Sunday morning. So I doubt that you remember this, so it's not too just a warmed over sermon. But we're going to get into a different thought this morning. 2 Kings chapter 13, let's begin reading verse number 14. Now Elisha, okay, that's as far as I'm going before I stop. Elisha, and when you go back and you study the word of God just a little bit, there was also a man in the Bible named Elijah. Now, Elijah was a prophet of God and a tremendous prophet of God. And Elisha was like his protege. He was his shadow. He was his disciple. He hung out with Elijah everywhere that he went. He wanted to learn from him. He wanted to be there with him and be part of his work as a prophet of God. And the Bible tells us that there come a time when Elijah didn't die. Elijah was called up and was taken up into heaven. And Elijah was trying to send Elisha away several times right before this happened. And Elisha would not leave him. He said, no, wherever you go, I'm going to stay with you. I'm going to stay with you. Until Elijah finally looked at Elisha. I know that's hard to keep separate. But Elijah finally looked at Elisha and said, okay, what do you want? What do you want from me? You want to stay right here with me, and I know that things are fixing to happen in my life. What do you want? And Elisha looked unto Elijah and said, I want a double portion of thy Spirit. Last Sunday morning, we preached on being filled with the Spirit of God. We preached on why we would want to be filled with the Spirit of God and how that we know that we're filled with the Spirit of God. And this morning, I want to look at a couple of things that are going to happen in our lives when we are filled with the Spirit of God. It's going to take me a few minutes to get there. But if you go back and you study the Word of God and you look at what Elijah did, Elijah performed what you would say 14 miracles in the Bible. You can go back and study those and find them. I don't have time to go through them all this morning. But after Elisha asked for a double portion of Elijah's Spirit, you go back and study his miracles, and it was 28. Does anybody know what 14 times 2 is? 28. And there's no coincidences in the Word of God. I'm glad that God shows us that His Word's real from beginning to end. It is the true, infallible Word of God. You can believe every word of it. So Elisha performed double the miracles that Elijah did, and he asked for a double portion. He was filled with the Spirit. So now that we know who Elisha was, I want you to look. Even though that Elisha was filled with a double portion, or maybe he was filled with the Spirit of God, if you will, that didn't make everything perfect in his life. Because as you continue reading verse number 14, look what it says. Now Elisha was fallen sick. See, sometimes we think when things happen bad in our lives, or what we think is bad, that means that the Spirit of God is not being strong in our life. That we think that maybe we're not walking with God, or what's God doing? But you know what? Just because you're filled with the Spirit of God and you belong to Jesus Christ, that doesn't mean that everything's going to be perfect in your life. If it meant that everything was perfect in your life, then I would have to go back and say, well, I must not have been saved the majority of my life, because there's been a lot of things in my life that wasn't perfect. But Elisha here, the Bible says, now Elisha was fallen sick of his sickness whereof he died. So in other words, he's sick unto a sickness that killed him. And Joash, the king of Israel, came down unto him and wept over his face and said, oh, my father, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof. So as Joash comes down to Elijah, he is weeping. He knows that Elisha has given him all grades of insight into the will of God for Israel. He knows that Elisha has kept him where he was winning battles and where he needed to be in the will of God. And now he sees that Elisha is fixing to die, and he's weeping. And he says, well, what about Israel? And what about our chariots and our horses? What about our strength? Now that you're gone, are we still going to continue in that strength? Verse number 15, and Elisha said unto him, take the bow and arrows. And he took unto him bow and arrows, and he said unto the king of Israel, put thine hand upon the bow. And he put his hand upon it, and Elisha put his hands upon the king's hands. And he said, open the window eastward. And he opened it. Then Elisha said, shoot. And he shot. And he said, the arrow of the Lord's deliverance, and the arrow of deliverance from Syria, for thou shalt smite the Syrians and Aphek till thou have consumed them. And he said unto them, take the arrows. And he took them, and he said unto the king of Israel, smite upon the ground. Now I want you to see that he was using these arrows as symbolism. And he said, I want you to shoot these arrows out here in the ground. And that is a symbol of you being able to overtake Syria. That is a symbol of you having authority over Israel, that when they come against you, that you'll be able to defeat them. And he shoots these arrows out the window. And then Elisha tells Joash, now you go get those arrows. Verse number 18, and he said, take the arrows. And he took them, and he said unto the king of Israel, smite upon the ground. And he smote thrice and stayed. In other words, Elisha said, Joash, now I want you to take these arrows, and I want you to beat them on the ground. And the Bible says that Joash took the arrows, and he hit three times on the ground, and he stopped. That was it. Now, I don't know how many times he was supposed to hit, but look in verse number 19. And the man of God was wroth with him. He was angry with him, and he said, thou shouldest have smitten five or six times. Then hadst thou smitten Syria till thou hast consumed it. Whereas now thou shalt smite Syria but thrice. I want you to look this morning. I want you to think about being filled with the Spirit of God. And here as Elisha was talking to Joash, and he told Joash to hit these arrows on the ground. And the Bible tells us that he only hit three times. And then Elisha said, why didn't you hit five or six times? Why did you stop at three? Why did you sell yourself short? I want you to know this morning that we have power. The Bible tells us to many as believe have the power to be the sons of God. And I think a lot of times in our lives that we sell ourselves short on the power that God has given us as Christians, that the power that God has given us to be filled with the Spirit, to walk in the Spirit, to live in the Spirit, and to grow close and have a great relationship with Jesus Christ. I think sometimes that we settle. Does anybody remember the DirecTV commercial that had the settlers on it? And the little boy would come out and he would ask his dad, see, we have a good time with this in our family because my dad is a settler. My dad is definitely, he don't have any direct TV, no cable, no internet. This summer we were out getting up hay and my dad looked at me and he said, oh no, I've dropped my phone in the hay field. And I said, you did? So we jumped off the hay trailer and we got to going around and we was looking for it all in the hay field. And I said, wait a minute. I said, you still got one of them little old cheap flip phones, don't you? And he said, yeah. I said, we're wasting time. Let's get the hay up. Leave that phone out there. It'll be all right. My dad is definitely a settler. He's missing that. In my opinion, he's missing out because he chooses to miss out. And I'm afraid sometimes that we as Christians, that we miss out on some things that God has given us the power to do. That God has given us, and when I'm not talking about healing people. I don't believe that God gives us the physical strength to heal somebody because I want to tell you this morning that if I had the power to boink you in the head and heal you, then I'm a sorry human being for not being down at Brenner's this morning boinking children in the head. But I don't have that power, and I don't believe that anybody else does. That power only comes from God. I believe God can heal, and God can touch anybody that he wants to. I believe that God can use my prayers. I believe that God can bear witness with my spirit. But I believe that all the power to heal comes only from God. But what I'm talking about is you have power to walk in freedom. You have power to walk in the Holy Ghost. You have power to overcome Satan. You have power that you are not tapping into because we settle. We only hit three times. And God's saying, why don't you go all the way? Why don't you desire that relationship with me that I want you to have? Why don't you draw close to me? Why don't you study? Why don't you pray? Why don't you seek me out? Because you know what? Everything in this life, other than church and God, and I'm not talking about you, I'm talking about me, everything else we go 100% in. You know what? I've seen some of you at ball games before. I have seen you at ball games, and you don't sit this quiet at a ball game. I've seen some of you at ball games that you become so emotional that a little man in a little striped shirt had to come over and go, you got to hush. Sit down. I would love one time for you to get so riled up in church that Scotty had to come to you and say, you got to hush. That's enough. Get riled up for God. Go all the way for God like we do for everything else. And so many times in this life, we are such overachievers. And everything that we do, we want everybody to look and say, what a wonderful job that you did. But what about when it comes to God? How do we care about what God says about us? Are we settlers or are we reaching out and are we going all in for God? Are we tapping three times or should we be tapping six and seven times and saying, God, I want everything that you got for me. I know that it's not going to make my life perfect. I know that sickness may still come. I know that bad things may still happen in my life. But I want to be filled with the Spirit of God. I want to walk in the Spirit of God. And I want to be everything that God wants me to be. Are we settling? I don't know how many times that I've talked with people. I remember one time in particular, a man was being witnessed to. I won't say any names. A man was being witnessed to. And he looked at me straight in the eye. And he said, you know what? He said he was trying to contend that he could still live in the world and be a child of God. That I can still do all of this stuff and be a child of God. And you know what? I know that once God comes into our heart, we become children of God. And the Bible tells us that nobody can pluck us out of God's hands. But if the only thing you want to do is contend about how bad you can live and still be a Christian, you might ought to check up and see if you're a child of God or not. Because God should change your desires. God should change your heart. But this guy kept saying, and he looked at me and he said, you know what? I don't care if I have to sit in a nosebleed section of heaven as long as I get there. What in the world kind of attitude is that to have to somebody that loved you so much that he allowed his son to come be beaten and spat upon and bled there on the cross and give every ounce of his life's blood for you? Oh, I don't want a real close relationship with you. I just want enough. I just want to say that I'm going to heaven. What the world? He's settling. He's not saying I want everything that God's got for me. Because you know what? The Bible says, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good, that God is good to us. He's always moving for our benefit in our lives. Why would you not want to hold on to him? You know what? My son's 14, and sometimes I think he gets that attitude with us. My son's a good boy, as far as I know. Some of y'all might see other things out of him, but as far as I know, he's a good kid. But you know what? When kids turn 14 years old, there's a shift in their mindset that happens. There's the teenage hormones that come on. And as I look back now at even my childhood, I think, how in the world did my dad keep from killing me? Because I'm thinking about killing my son from time to time. But Silas, He, like I said, he's a good kid. Bless his heart. You're the preacher's kid. You get talked about from the pulpit. I can't help it. But as Silas gets a little older and a little more independent and a little more, you know, he's all the time standing beside him and go, "I'm taller than you, Dad." I'm like, "Well, you really reached something high, bud. I'm 5'10". I mean, you've really done something." But when he's hungry, he wants daddy, or daddy's money at least. When he needs something, he needs his clothes packed, he wants mama. He wants us to do everything for him, but still allow him to be the man that he's supposed to be. And you know what? That's the way we do with God a lot of times. We want to be individual. We want to be what we want to be. We want to do our thing. We don't want to lay down our cross. We don't want to deny ourselves and take up our cross. We want to be individual until we get in trouble somewhere, and then we want to go, "Oh God, I need you." That's not the relationship that God wants to have for us. That's not being filled with the Spirit. When we get filled with the Spirit, we'll desire a relationship with God that is strong. We will settle for a less abundant life. Jesus said that he was the way, the truth, and the life. And that he has come to give, the Bible tells us in John chapter 10 and verse number 10, it says, "The thief cometh but for to steal, kill, and destroy." And then it says, "But I am come that you may have life and have it more abundantly." God came to give us abundant life. You know, a lot of people, they think, well, God don't want us to have fun because he says we can't do all of this stuff. All of that stuff leads to heartache, to misery, and to trouble. God wants you to have an abundant life that is full of the Holy Spirit of God. Let's keep reading. So we got Elisha, and the Bible tells us that he desired a double portion of Elijah's spirit. He'd done double the miracles that Elijah did. But here the Bible tells us that he's become sick. Joash come to him. I don't know why Joash didn't hit it but three times. All I'm asking you is to look where you're at with God, and for me to look where I'm at with God. Are we settling for less than what God wants us to be? Are you settling? Are you just saying, "Man, I'm saved and I'm a child of God and everything. I'm going to heaven. It's good." That's not what God wants us to have in our hearts and in our minds. Verse number 20, the Bible says, "And Elisha died, and they buried him, and the bands of Moabites invaded the land at the coming end of the year." So even though that Elisha had all of this spirit, he was filled with the Spirit of God, he still died. But I want you to know something, that isn't it wonderful that having a relationship with Jesus Christ takes away the pain of death? That the Bible tells us, "Oh death, where is thy sting? Oh grave, where is thy victory?" That, yeah, one day that I'm going to die, but when I die, it's going to be okay. Now, I hate it. If I die before my wife and my kids, I hate that they're going to have to go through the pain of me leaving, or either the cost of the party that they're going to throw. I don't know which one it's going to be. I hate that they're going to go through that, but I'm glad that my wife and my children know that everything's okay between me and God. I'm just in heaven waiting on them. It's going to be all right. There's going to be no sting to death in my life. And if you're a child of God this morning, your sins have been covered by the blood of Jesus Christ. Death is not something that you have to fear. That's something that God has given us power over. The Bible tells us here that Elisha died. And the year, and in the coming of the year after Elisha died, the Moabites invaded the land. So here comes the Moabites to invade Israel. And it came to pass, now I want you to look what happens here, and it came to pass as they were burying a man. So here the rest of Israel, that there's another man died. They're not talking about Elisha here. Elisha is already buried. He's already gone. He's already in a grave. The Bible tells us that they're out and they're burying another dude one day. And as they're burying this other dude one day, somebody looks up and says, "Oh no, here comes the enemy. Here comes the Moabites. They're coming for war." Children of God, I want you to know this morning that there's an enemy out there lurking that is waiting to pounce on you. Don't ever get so swelled up and saying, "Oh, I'm filled with the Spirit. Devil, you can't touch me now." I want to tell you what, you have power over Satan, but don't ever think that that power comes from within you, because then we get lifted up with pride. And when we get lifted up with pride, the Bible says, "Take heed lest you fall." If I begin to think, "Oh, I'm so holy and I'm so filled with the Spirit of God that there's no way that I can ever fall for this temptation. There's no way that that bothers me. I'm holy. Me and God, we're walking close." You better watch out. The enemy is lurking and waiting to set a trap for you, waiting to pounce on you. So here comes the enemy. The Moabites, here they come. Elisha's in the grave. They're out burying another dude. All of a sudden, they say, wait a minute, we ain't got time to bury this dude. Here comes the Moabites. Here comes the enemy. We got to prepare for war. We got to get ready to fight. And it came to pass as they were burying a man that, behold, they spied a band of men, and they cast the men into the sepulchre of Elisha. They said, we don't have time to bury him, so let's just throw him in here with Elisha. We'll come back and get him later. We'll go bury him somewhere. We know where Elisha's at. Roll that stone back. Let's throw him in there. I want you to look what being filled with the Spirit of God will do. And when the men, and when the man was let down and touched the bones of Elisha, he revived and stood upon his feet. Now I want you to see, they got a corpse in the ground that's bones. They got a dude that they're out burying one day. They open the grave and they throw him in on top of Elisha. And there was so much of the Spirit of God there that the man that they were burying, when he touched Elisha's bones, he come back to life. Now, you want to know what happens when we get filled with the Spirit of God, when we're not settling, when we're trying to walk in the way that God wants us to walk? There is power in us to give others life. And I'm not talking about physical life. I'm talking about this world is full of people who are dead spiritually. The Bible tells us that we are dead in trespasses and sins until we meet Jesus Christ. And when we get filled with the Spirit of God, just as Elisha's bones were here in this grave, when this dead man touched him, he come back to life. I want you to know something, that there is a world full of people out here that need to feel the Spirit of God coming off of you. They need to know the love of Jesus Christ coming from you. They need to know that there's hope out here. They need to know that there's a better way. They need to know that there's somebody that loved them so much that he gave his life for them, that he'll wipe their sins away, that no matter what they've done in their past, that in God's eyes, they can be clean as newborn babes, that they can stand before God justified, cleansed, righteous in God's eyes. And it is our place to give them that, but we can only do that when we're full of the Holy Spirit. Being filled with the Spirit. You say, well, preacher, I don't know. Everybody I talk to wants to argue with me about being saved. You know what? The world's full of people that want to argue about being saved. And it makes us as Christians really skeptical about giving them the gospel. The first thing they want to do is say, well, what about this and what about that? And you know what? Can I just give you a word of advice? And this is just for me. I'm not talking about now if the Spirit of God moves on you and tells you to talk to somebody, forget anything I'm fixing to say. But the Bible talks about casting your pearls before swine. The Bible talks about not doing that. And when you know that somebody, the only thing they want to do is contend and they want to argue, and they're not really interested in hearing anything that you got to say, they just want to try to disprove everything that you have to say, I want to tell you this. Take them to your prayer closet, but leave them alone. Go and pray for them. Pray that God move on their life in a miraculous way, in a way that they know that God is real. But there comes a time and a place where you just have to say, okay, God, I'm going to pray for them, but that's all I can do. They're not interested in hearing it. But I want to say something. Don't let those people, don't let those few that maybe want to contend with you, that maybe want to argue with you, don't let them turn your heart off to the people that are starving for the Spirit of God. You know what? We have a church full of people here this morning that you obviously want the Spirit of God. You may be here and you may not ever been saved before. You don't even know why you're here. Well, I want to tell you something. You're not here by an accident. You're not here by coincidence. I don't believe in those things. I don't believe in luck. I believe in the divine will of God for each and every one of our lives. And you're here because God put you here at a specific time and a specific place and under specific message with people around you. And you're here because you may not even know it, but I believe with all of my heart that you desire a relationship with God. You desire that. You might not even know that you desire that yet. Because you see, God created you. And God created you for the intention of you to give him glory. And for your soul to return to him. You might not even know this morning that you come here to get saved. And some of you are going, I didn't come here to get saved. I come because somebody made me. That's right, you don't know it yet. You say, well, preacher, you're starting to confuse me. I'm not trying to confuse you. I'm just trying to tell you that God has a plan for your life. And the first step of that is to say, God, I accept you as my Lord and Savior. That is the first step of that. But Christians? We're so backwards about witnessing to people that we overlook people who are starving for a relationship with God. We get so relaxed in our relationship with God that we think, okay, me and mine, we're good. Me and mine, we're okay. I can't help it. I was fighting this, but I'm going to have to. Choir, y'all come on back and sing Jesus Rescues Me again. Y'all done such a good job on that this morning. I'm almost finished here. But as they're making their way up here, we get into a place that we're so bent on just, we're taking care of us and our relationship with God. We get to a place that, well, they just want to argue and they're going to ask me a question that I don't know the answer to. And they're going to try to disprove everything that I believe in. That we get to where we don't care. You know what? That's not being filled with the Spirit of God. Elisha was so filled that even though something bad happened in his life, he was dead. He was in a grave. And yet, someone received life from touching his bones. How long has it been since you gave somebody else life? How long has it been since you pointed them to Jesus Christ? How long has it been since you said, you know what? I'm glad that I have the assurance of my salvation, but I'm wondering about these people up the road and down there. They're starving for it. They may not know it. You may not know it. It may be somebody that lives right down the street from you. You know they're a good person, good moral person. They don't do anything bad, but God may point you in their direction one day. Are we filled with the Spirit of God? Are we settling for less of a relationship with God than what He wants us to have? I know I've told y'all this before. My wife just absolutely hates this story. I get in trouble every time I tell it. So it just seems obvious that I tell it again. But we had been dating for just a little while. We went to North Surrey High School. I love you, baby. I really do. And I knew pretty quick that I needed to hang on to this one. She was way out of my league, and I needed to clamp on quick. That's the reason I married her so young, and be sure she didn't get to know anybody else. But I can remember standing right outside the gymnasium at North Surrey High School, right there on the side of the building. And she was going to PE, and I had to run all the way to third wing to get to my next class. I waited till the minute bell rung. And it's I can about feel you behind me. I looked at her, and I grabbed her hands, and I kissed her on the cheek, and I said, "Honey, I love you." Actually, I said, "Autumn, I love you." She said, I like you too." I was late for next class. I walked. I didn't run. The point of the story is I was desiring the next level of our relationship. I was desiring, I love you. And that day, she settled. She may say she's still settling. I'm going to say she's not. But that day she settled and she said, "I like you." Well, you know what? You may be here this morning and you may be hearing the voice of God saying, "I love you. I love you so much that I gave my son for you." And you're here this morning, so that tells me that you have a belief in a God. That tells me that you know that you might need something else in your life. But what I want to ask you is, are you going to sit here and say, I like you? Are you going to settle? Are you not going to go one step deeper in your relationship with Christ? Are you not going to start that relationship with Christ? Hey, I'm going to tell you this morning, no matter what you're going through, no matter what you have done, no matter what your past is, none of that matters to God. Because God knew that you was going to do every bit of that before He allowed Jesus Christ to come give His life for you. And He still said, "I love you so much that I'll allow it." Every head bowed and every eye closed for just a moment. Just take a look at your life. What kind of relationship are you in with God? Christians, have you settled? Christians, are you here this morning? You say, "As I look at my relationship with God, I have settled. He wants so much more for me. He wants such a stronger relationship. I know that God wants that. I know that He has given me some power to walk in the ways that I should walk, and I'm not taking advantage of that. But preacher, I want to. Would you just slip up your hand? I'll just pray for you. I won't come to you. I won't say your name. Amen. God sees the hand. You put it right back down. I see your hand. Put it right back down. Preacher, I know that I'm saved. But I know that I'm not walking in the full relationship with God like I should. Anywhere else? Maybe you're here. I see your hand. You put it right back down. Maybe you're here and you say, "Preacher, I've never been saved. I'm not real sure what it even means. But I know that I need a relationship with God. I know that I've done things that I need forgiveness for. I know that God loved me enough to give His Son for me. And man, I need Him in my life. I won't come to you. I won't say your name. Never be mentioned. I just want to pray for you. Would you slip up your hand? Just let me pray for you. Preacher, I know that I need to be saved. I need a relationship with Jesus Christ. Lord, we thank you for this day, and we thank you for all your many blessings. God, we just thank you for meeting here with us this morning. God, in just a minute, we're going to stand to our feet, and the choir is going to sing about how Jesus rescued us. And God, I pray if there's a need in anybody's life here today, God, I pray that they will allow you to rescue them. God, I pray that they will just heed to that voice, that they'll jump into that relationship, God, that will be filled with the Spirit of God, where we won't be selling ourselves short with our relationship with you, and that we can point others to the cross of Christ. And God, I pray most of all, if there's one here today that's lost, that they don't know you, God, I pray that you'll just speak to their heart, that you'll draw them and give them courage and strength. In Jesus' name that I pray, amen. As you stand to your feet, as the choir sings this morning, this altar is open. You come, you need to do business with God, you come on. You need to come and you need to worship God a little bit, you come on. You need to come and give your life to Jesus Christ, come on. The altar's open.